Hello and welcome to another episode of Diabetes Dialogue, Technology, Therapeutics, and Real World Perspectives. My name is Diana Isaacs. I am joined by my co-host, Natalie Bellini. And we today want to talk about new data about automated insulin delivery systems in people with type 2 diabetes, and specifically the long-awaited data on the SECURE-T2D trial, which is Omnipod 5 in people with type 2 diabetes, that was published this morning for us. And this data overall is not new in the fact that it was actually presented at ADA SCI Sessions last year. But the difference between a publication and when it's presented, just maybe as a poster or at a scientific meeting during a presentation, is that publications are peer reviewed. And so this was published in JAMA Network. And so it's really more comprehensive because it includes all of the data. And someone, well, or a bunch of people have reviewed it to ask questions and make sure it's legitimate. And so it's exciting that it was published. And so I'm just going to start off with kind of just sharing some overall global things. So this was studied in people with type 2 diabetes, and this was not a randomized control trial. So this was actually a group of people that were, most of them were actually on injections prior to starting it. And they compared how they were doing prior to starting the pump to after. And the major outcome was actually A1C. So this was 305 participants. And the change in A1C, it actually decreased from a mean of 8.2% at baseline to a follow-up of 7.4% at 13 weeks. In addition to that, the time in range improved quite a bit. It went from 45% at baseline all the way up to 66% at follow-up. So, Natalie, what do we think about this?
This is incredible data, right? Now, let's remember insulin pump. I mean, AID with people with type 2, we've been using for a very long time. And we love Omnipod because it is a pharmacy benefit. So we can get people Omnipods that have type 2 that might not get them covered by Medicare because Medicare makes you have type 1 diabetes, right? Or making no insulin. So, first of all, we already love it and we use it a lot. But in order for them to get that FDA approval, we needed more data on it. And they do. And this is what it is, right? A 0.8 A1C reduction is huge. It's huge. So that's number one. But that time in range, which you and I have been believers in since we first started using CGM, we know that every 5% increase in time in range reduces complications. And we're at 20% time in range increase. That's incredible. So, they're not having to add different medications. They're not having to, it's education around insulin dosing. So it's really hard for someone to take insulin at every meal. It's really hard for someone to carry all that with them. With the Omnipod system, the pods on the arm, they're either bolusing from their phone or their PDM. And it really does demonstrate that we can use these in people that we might not have 5 or 10 years ago.
Yeah. And I think one of the big strengths of this trial is just how diverse the population is. So, one of the criticisms of a lot of the insulin pump or the technology trials is that they include a highly educated population that is really tech savvy. And in terms of applying that to the general population, it's difficult to do because the average person may not have all that education or be used to technology. So they actually were much more diverse in terms of just education level, even income level. And even when you look at race and ethnicity, 50% were white and the other half came from different ethnicities. There was actually 24% identifying as Black, 22% identifying as Hispanic or Latino. So really, it is much more diverse than what we are seeing in other trials. I'm very glad to see that.
I am too. I mean, a lot of times we'll see 5, 8, 10% diversity match. This is Omnipod making a huge, really, really big goal of saying, let's demonstrate that it doesn't, that this can be used in all people, not just people who find these trials online and go in and they're already, this is recruiting from clinic base, really trying to encourage people in general to do this. And I love it. It was well designed. You know, 300 people is a lot for an AID system trial. So they got the diversity, they got the AID system and a lot of people. This was all pump naive. This was really impressive. It really was.
Yeah. And even while most people were on mealtime insulin prior, they were on multiple daily injections, actually 21% were just on basal only. So they're paying like a once a day injection to using a pump. In addition to that, most were not counting carbohydrates prior to the trial either. And so some of these misconceptions that we've had that, oh, you need to be a perfect carbohydrate counter and you need to show like you've been on mealtime insulin for a long time and you need to be highly educated and you need like it pretty much showed. They actually did subgroup analyses of these different things and showed that people did well. In fact, they did not have everybody just counting carbohydrates and entering it into the pump. They actually had subgroups doing basically either preset like standard doses, like a certain amount per meal, or doing like a small, medium, large type of meal. And with the latest Omnipod 5 system, you can do that now. You can actually put in these presets where you can decide like small, medium, large. You can even break it down to breakfast, lunch, and dinner if you want to, and just pick that instead of having to be like, oh, wait, there's 37 grams of carbs, or let me weigh my food and figure out the exact amount that's in here. So I think that's really great to see. And then I think the part for me that was really new, because remember, we have seen this data presented before, is that they did a whole subgroup analysis of these different areas. Like, okay, person's on a GLP-1 agonist or they're on an SGLT2 inhibitor. Was there a difference in their A1C reduction? And like pretty much across the board, like it didn't matter.
Right. And exactly.
Yeah. And so one thing to do note is that they were not allowed to adjust these other doses. They had to be on a standard dose. So, because I got this question before by someone, well, what if like the GLP-1 group, maybe they'd have a greater A1C reduction because they were titrating up the GLP-1, but they weren't allowed to do that. They had to be on that dose throughout the study. But I mean, even when they looked at like differences with like insurance type, like private versus Medicaid, Medicare, edging amount level, like high school, I mean, they were such minimal differences, like 0.7 versus 0.8, you know, that it's like, it's so cool. Even they had a large subset that were totally CGM naive, that like did not ever use CGM before, and they still performed well. And so I think even this idea,
which I think is a really big deal, because now you're adding two technologies into one and saying, this is how we do this. This is different than what you're ever used to before. You've never seen, you know, they're using these, you know, they're using Dexcom to check glucose every 5 minutes. It can already be in and of itself. Like, okay, this is technology overload. What do I do? And they said, nope, let's just do it. Let's do CGM naive. Let's do people on MDI. Let's convert them and see how they do. One injection a day, four injections a day, carb counting, not carb counting, right? Like insurance, you know, like high deductible, not like, I mean, all of it, all Medicare, Medicaid. Let's just put people on these and see what happens. And the data is phenomenal across the board. There is not one subset that I looked at and said, oh, so this group, I wouldn't use it in. There's not one. And that to me is everything. Right. It's like every subset they analyzed, there was still a significant improvement.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, I think we're both really excited about this. I do want to acknowledge that just like all clinical trials, there always are some limitations. And I would say the biggest one is just that this was not a randomized controlled trial, meaning it wasn't a control group. And it was a pre-post. And yes, there was a huge improvement. But the reason why control groups are important is because just by having more visits in a trial, you get a lot more attention. You're seeing more healthcare providers.
Right.
You're getting additional attention. And so there's always a little bit of improvement from that. And so that's why it would be nice to have a control group. And then also I want to acknowledge that it's so impressive, that 20% improvement in time in range and getting that A1C down. But the final mean time in range was 66%. And we know that we are aiming to try to get most people to 70% or more. And granted, these are averages. So of course, there were tons of people that did get that 70%. And there were tons of people that did get an A1C less than 7%. But I guess what I'm saying is, I feel like all the work isn't done, right? Like there's still potential improvements in terms of perhaps some additional education points and also perhaps opportunities to even update algorithms more and intensify them to really make it just easily achievable, this over 70% time in range for all.
And maybe with when we look at the data long term, we can say, well, now we could continue to titrate GLP-1. We could add a different one. We could, okay, they're really challenged with whatever. We need to, you know, so we could, you know, I mean, we would. And again, because these people have type 2, some of them, 66%, depending on their age, is at or above goal. Remember, lots of people as they age, you know, their goals actually go down. We want to reduce that hypoglycemia. So there's both sides of it, right? But I think that overall, you're right, is that we wanted it to 70, but my 45 to 66, I'm like, okay, 22%? Wow. And some people did a whole lot more than 22% increase in time and range. And some people didn't. And how do we pull those people out now and help that subset of people that need extra help, right? And so I am really impressed. And I think that they did a great job and I'm excited.
Well, I think you raise a good point because the average age was 57. And so certainly people that are older and have more comorbidities and a higher risk of hypoglycemia, we definitely may be aiming for that A1C of less than 8% and that time in range of 50%. So I think that is a really important point.
But yeah, we'd have to look at that differences in age and how that actually ended up playing out. Yeah.
Also, I just wanted to briefly touch on this because I feel like this went under the radar a little bit, at least for me. But in all my excitement of waiting for the secure T2D data, I didn't realize that Medtronic 780G recently actually published their data as well about the use of the system in type 2 diabetes. And this was published on February 6th, so not that long ago, a little over a week ago from today, right? And yes. So it's it's a very different. I mean, it's a similar trial in that it was a pre-post. It included a little bit less people in it, but very, very also impressive reductions in A1C. That was also the primary outcome, going from 7.8% to 7.2%. They did achieve 7.9 to 7.2%.
Yes.
They did achieve higher percentage time in range in the 780G trial. And again, it's not apples to apples because the population included in the 780G trial is a little bit different. But still, I think it just adds to all this evidence of, hey, these systems work very well in people with type 2 diabetes. And so why aren't we using these systems more in people with type 2 diabetes?
Absolutely. And I think that the biggest things are, you know, we look at these and say, you know, we used to say, well, you have type 2 diabetes, you can do basal insulin plus just a bolus at your biggest meal injection, you know, don't worry, it's okay. But why would we do that? Why wouldn't we say these people can use these systems? We can make them as detailed for those people who are truly detail oriented, who want to do more and engage in their AID system, very tech savvy person, to a person that just wants to interact with it right before they eat, two or three times a day, treat the blood sugar before you go to bed or the glucose on your pump. That's, I think, my biggest thing is like, just treat the number before bed because we'll get you down faster overnight. Here we go. It can be very simple because these systems are so strong that they really can help these people with type 2. I'm thrilled that this is another option.
Yeah.
And where, I guess the question becomes, where does that FDA indication come for? Do you think this is going to push Medtronic to get a type 2 indication?
Well, I hope it does.
There
were 95 participants. And so they had a run-in period and then they had a follow-up period. And in their run-in period, they already had a high time in range. They were 72.2%. So again, a little bit different population, different study design, but they increased that to 79.8%. So the time in range that they achieved in the trial was quite high with the system. So yeah, I would absolutely hope that they pursue that indication and that we see multiple systems get FDA approved for type 2 diabetes and we just have more options, more choices to offer people. All right. Well, this has been a fantastic discussion. Thank you so much. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. That wraps up this episode of Diabetes Dialogue, Technology, Therapeutics, and Real World Perspectives.